When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, Savage Approach to Personal Finance. This is George Grumbacher and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, the strong and powerful Todd Miller. Todd, are you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
I love it. Let's do this. Todd is a money coach. He is helping people to check themselves and work towards a better financial future. I'm excited to have you on. Todd, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, so I wasn't always a money coach. I kind of had a journey to get to this career path, and that really started with my own journey in money and finance and seeking out financial freedom. And for me, that started in college. I was introduced to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that really changed my way of thinking. And when I got done with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I picked up another one, 4-hour work week.
Nice.
And I thought that was pretty cool that, hey, you don't have to work 40 hours a week. You can, you know, work less and maybe have some more fun in your life. And that sounded a lot more fun than sitting behind a desk for the next 30 plus years. So that kind of, you know, got my mind churning, and I dove into personal finance and learning more about money and the game of money and what you can do with it in order to create more freedom in your life. So I found out all about financial freedom and things when I was in college, and that prompted me to start a couple of small businesses. When I was in college, I started buying and selling football tickets at the University of Florida. We always had a good football team, so
nice.
You know, some tickets were always in hot demand. So I'd be able to go out, buy some tickets, and then turn around and sell them and make a nice little profit. And then I started thinking, how else can I do this? You know, what are some other opportunities that are out there? And a friend of mine and I, we got together and started buying and selling textbooks. And so that ended up being a pretty good deal for us. We would stand outside some of our classes at the end of every semester, you know, waving $20 bills at people as they're leaving their finals. And, you know, they'd sell us their books, and then we turn around a couple of weeks later and resell them for a nice little profit. So that worked out well. And then I kind of started getting into buying and selling used cell phones. You know, people would be going out and having fun, maybe getting a little crazy and losing or breaking their cell phone, or you know, dropping it in the toilet, or you know, in a pitcher of beer or something like that. So I started getting into that, and you know, had a nice little business that kind of sustained me while I was going to college. And eventually, I had to graduate, so I did, and I got a job with a global Fortune 500 company. And you know, my parents were really proud of me at that point. I had kind of fulfilled all of their dreams for me at that point. You know, they were happy to get me off of their payroll, so to speak, and let me go and see what I could kind of do in the world. But I really felt like I was living more of their dream rather than my dream. You know, they had these expectations for me to get a good job, like I think most people's parents do. And that was great. You know, I was happy to do that, but things changed very quickly for me in the corporate world. This is around 2006, 2007. And I got laid off after about 8 months of work. And that really prompted me to begin thinking about, you know, what I wanted out of life. What did I want to pursue? And I wanted to pursue fun. I wanted to have fun. I didn't want to, you know, work hard for 30 years. I wanted to work hard for, you know, a couple of years and then be able to enjoy the fruits of that labor. So this kind of reprompted my dive into personal finance. And so I, you know, started exploring real estate and stocks and all these different options that maybe could help me produce this passive income so that I wasn't stuck in that office job. So I ended up doing some soul searching. And after that soul searching, I decided I needed to take a job in sales because that wouldn't really limit my income. I'd be able to earn more and I'd be getting out of my comfort zone and growing. So I took a job in mortgage banking, and that job really allowed me to look at people's finances and really understand what people were doing with their money. You know, I looked at thousands upon thousands of people's balance sheets and income statements over the course of my career, and it just kind of rang true with the principles that were talked about in books like The Millionaire Next Door, that just because, you know, people have a big house or a nice car doesn't mean that they really have any money. More often than not, a lot of those people are living paycheck to paycheck. And I just didn't want to live that lifestyle. So I started learning more about real estate and started buying some properties and generating some cash flow. And, you know, after a number of years, I was able to slowly replace my income. And after I replaced my income, for me, it was time to quit my job and to go have some fun. So my fiance and I, we took a year off and went and traveled around the world and had some crazy bucket list adventures, you know, that we wouldn't get to have to do if we were tied down to our jobs. And it was just an amazing experience. And that kind of led me to money coaching because, you know, after the 15 year or so journey that I've been on, I've learned a lot over the years, and I want to share that knowledge with others so that they can, you know, have more fulfillment in their lives and to have you know, more time to spend with their friends and family and to you know, maybe make more of a difference in the world. I think a lot of employees in today's environment aren't necessarily happy with their job. They don't really find it fulfilling. I mean, I know that I didn't. So I think that if you can solve the money aspect, then you can move on to bigger and better things in your life.
Amen to that, man. I think depending on whatever statistic you look at, so few people actually like their work. We're just sort of sleepwalking through our lives because we're stuck in the cycle of debt and having to pay for the crap that we bought. It's maybe not even making us happy. So I appreciate everything you just said. And you know, I think it's cool that you figured that out, you know, when you were a young guy. You're like, listen, I'm interested in having fun. I'm not interested in just slaving away at some crappy job for the rest of my life. And then you went and executed on it. It's got to be pretty refreshing for people, but also kind of a scary thing to think about making that huge sort of mindset shift.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, I think back to my own experience and, you know, being at the point where I had, you know, passive income that pretty much replaced my entire, the entire amount of money that I was making at my job. It was such a difficult, I guess, experience to walk into my boss's office and to tell him that I was leaving, because that goes against everything that we're brought up to believe. You know, we're brought up to believe that we need this job and that we have to go to school and that there are certain steps that you need to take. And it's really tough to kind of go against that grain and to do something different when all of your peers are, you know, following one path and you're trying to follow another.
Yeah. So how do people break out of that? Is it really starting with this is what your life could look like and helping them to actually visualize that? Or
I think that's part of it, is thinking about what you want and what's possible. I know for me, you know, I had some rough experiences in my 20s. You know, my father passed away, and that had a big impact on me. That helped me realize how short life is, and that, you know, if you want something, you really have to pursue it. That nothing's guaranteed. You know, tomorrow is not guaranteed. So if you really want to do something, then today's the day that you start, and you start taking that first tiny step. And it's okay to make mistakes along the way. I made plenty along the way as well. But the point is to start. And if you start, then you kind of start building that momentum and moving forward to what it is that you're after.
Right. So figuring out what that is that you're really after, you know, it's a lot of the times different than what people have, and just to really get started. So is it a function of I need to eliminate debt and overhead that I have? It's a function of I need to find new income sources, just increase revenue so I can stop earning from a full-time job. It's all of it.
So I usually focus first on budgeting, because your budget really is your money plan. So you're right. There's a number of different levers that are in the budget. You know, you have the income aspect, the expenses aspect, and you move both of those in order to save more so that you have more to invest. So there's certainly things that you can do to decrease expenses. That's where most people start, because that's an easier process than to go out and to, you know, maybe build another income stream. So, you know, normally we look at some of people's top expenses, and top expenses are going to be things like your housing expense, your taxes, you know, food and transportation. Those are the top four things that most people spend money on. So when you can go in and you can make a small reduction in the percentage of each of those, then that has a drastic change in your budget and allows you to find more money and have more of a surplus at the end of every month. So once you do that, you know, then there are some things that you can do to increase your income, whether that's talking to your boss about a raise or switching companies or, you know, trying a side hustle or, you know, buying some dividend paying stocks and things like that. There's a number of ways that you can increase your income. And if you're increasing your income, decreasing your expenses, then you have this cash surplus. And that allows you to, you know, maybe pay off debt if debt's a problem for you. Or in my case, it allowed me to go ahead and start investing at a young age and allowed the passive income to build up so that I could, you know, start pursuing my goals and my dreams.
So when you're having a conversation with somebody and you're like, okay, the first step is to figure out your cash flow and your budget and your spending plan. These are the areas that we're going to have to look at. It's your housing, it's your car, it's your eating out. So we're really talking about major lifestyle things. And I would imagine it's at that point where you recognize that, yep, this person is serious, or they're not serious about this at all because they're not going to take a step backwards.
Right. Which I try and, I guess, vet my clients before all that even happens. You know, there has to be some level of motivation for them internally to want to make the changes. So a lot of people that come to me have been stuck in their way of life, you know, for several years, where it's, you know, the constantly spending and then, you know, paying their bills and not really having anything at the end of the month. And that's just an ongoing cycle. And at the end of a couple of years, they look back and realize that they haven't built anything, that they haven't put any money away, and they're no closer to retirement than they were, you know, years beforehand. So there has to be that pain point for a lot of people in order to be able to make that change, to want to move forward and progress.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the pain of staying the same less painful than actually making those changes? So I appreciate that very much. And that's just a question that I think we all need to ask of certain circumstances in our lives. So nice. So getting that money plan, starting to find different ways to increase income, then you have some a cash surplus. You could start eliminating debt. You can start investing to start creating passive income. And obviously it's taking these small steps and then helping people to develop the confidence to kind of keep the thing going, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's one thing to follow or to make a plan. It's another thing to follow the plan. I think most people realize that in order to build wealth, you know, you have to live below your means. You're not going to be able to create wealth if you're spending everything that comes in. So I think most people realize that that's, you know, one of the pillars to building wealth, but being able to keep the course and to be able to do that consistently is another story. And that really is where a money coach comes into play, is to be able to, you know, help people see the long-term vision and to stay on course and to be working towards the things that they want. You know, I've had a lot of people that I've worked with in the past in my corporate life that have asked me, you know, why didn't you go into something like financial advising? And that wasn't right for me, because I think financial advising is more of a sales role where you're trying to steer people into products because you have some sort of financial incentive based on the products that they buy. Whereas a coach is an unbiased person. We're not interested in selling you a particular product. We have no problem, you know, educating about products and investment vehicles, but my job is to focus on your behavior and to get you to do the things that you need to do and create the habits that are going to get you to your end result.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense to me that it's of great benefit to somebody to have a relationship, if it's a money coach or a close friend or just somebody who can hold you accountable and can not have some kind of a motive for giving you certain advice or directing you towards a certain thing. So I think that is so important. In fact, I think that might be the most important thing, Todd, is having somebody to call you out on your BS when you need it, because we all fall back here and there if it's diet and exercise or spending.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, I know, for most of the people that I work with, you know, they get all excited for the first, you know, week or two, and, you know, maybe they start seeing a little bit of difference, or they start seeing, you know, the debt balance go down or the savings account go up, and that's exciting. But usually that excitement fades and it's easy to get distracted. You know, it's easy for the shiny new object to come along, or for, you know, one of your friends to go out and have a new car. And then all of a sudden you think you need to have a new car because, you know, you have to feel like you're keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, you know, and a lot of people fall into that trap. So it's important to have somebody that's kind of holding you accountable to the things that you want and the things that, that you're after. I know for me personally, I had several mentors in real estate here locally that kind of held me accountable. You know, we got together early on and put together kind of a business plan as far as, you know, these are the steps you need to take. These are the number of properties you need to look at acquiring in order to hit your goals. And it made it easy because, you know, together we developed this plan. And if I wasn't taking the proper steps to make sure that I was following the plan, you know, they were there to let me know, and they were there to encourage me to, you know, go out and you know, maybe find others that could help me achieve these goals too, and to just kind of expand my knowledge base. And again, the point is to improve lives. And I think that, you know, through the financial education and achieving goals, that, you know, that's where people start finding fulfillment, and they find room in their life to fulfill, to go after the things that really truly fulfill them.
Amen. I love it. Well, Todd, Savage Nation is ready for your difference making tip. What do you have for them?
Like most things in personal finance, the sooner you start, the better off things are going to be for you in the long term. So I'd encourage everyone to just get out there and start. Or if there's something that's kind of, you know, nagging on you in the back of your mind that you know that you should be doing that you're not, that take that step. Time is never going to be perfect for you, but as soon as you start taking that first step, it makes it that much easier to take the second one. So I encourage people, you know, to take that step and to find somebody who can help you, that can serve as a mentor, or as a friend, or who has been in your shoes and can serve as a coach to kind of help you through this whole process.
I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on.
Come on.
Todd, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? How can people engage with you?
Yeah, so most people, everybody can find me on my website, and my website is tightwadtodd.com, and it's a financial coaching website. And right now we do have a really cool white paper up there. It's on different ways that you can achieve financial freedom. So what I would encourage everybody to go out and sign up and check that out, because if you really stop and think about it, we all are after financial freedom, whether you're saving for financial freedom or you're trying to achieve it through passive income ways. At some point in time, we all are trying to hit that retirement button. And you do that through finding financial freedom.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Todd your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to tightwadtodd.com. Pick up that free white paper on how to find financial freedom and get started, just like Todd said. Thanks again, Todd.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.